Well, the votes are counted, but it could be months before we really know what they mean in Iraq. Ayad Alawi and his party won the majority of parliamentary seats, but they only won the majority by 2 seats, only 2 more than his rival, current Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. That means that a decision from a government commission becomes resoundingly significant. This commission said yesterday it will block 6 of the country's newly elected members of parliament from taking their seats, because they were members of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. To sort all of this out and explain the implications, we have Megan O'Sullivan back with us. She's a professor of international affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School and was deputy national security advisor on Iraq and Afghanistan during the administration of George W. Bush. Again, good morning, Megan. So the reason that they've disqualified these 6 people is because they're a member of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. Will that stand?
Well, they don't necessarily need to be a member. They have to be someone who's seen to be propagating the ideology. And this is actually in Iraq's constitution. The thing I would focus on is not so much whether these 6 specific individuals will take a seat in parliament, but who decides if they are viewed to be disqualified, who decides how they will be replaced. That is the key part. If there is a court ruling saying that the party under which they ran can reappoint their successor, then this becomes a much less volatile and critical issue, because it no longer affects the size of a parliamentary bloc, which, of course, as you suggested, is key to who actually gets to form the government.
There's 42 other candidates that could possibly be barred from their seats by the same commission, meaning that it's the results of the election are kind of up in the air depending on these decisions. So even though Alawi won more seats, he may not be the one forming the coalition government. That may be al-Maliki in the end.
Well, let me bring your attention to another decision made by a court last week, which was, I would say, equally significant. That was a decision saying it's not the absolute number of seats that will determine who gets to make the government, but it is really the size of the coalition that forms once parliament convenes. So it may be that you have a number of other parties that come together, and on the first or second day of parliament, they actually collectively hold more seats than Alawi, and therefore they're tagged to form a government. So there's a number of uncertainties right now, and all of this makes the situation very volatile, because you have people who perceive they won the election and they should have the right to form the government. But legally speaking, there's a number of ways where that might not actually be what happens.
I assume you're speaking about the Sunnis, we're already hearing complaints from Sunni leaders saying that they won the election and they're afraid they will be excluded from the government and the decisions on how to form the government.
Well, again, that goes back to that earlier decision made by the Supreme Court that I mentioned. Alawi is a secular Shia. So his party and his bloc is not necessarily just a Sunni political party. It is more of a nationalist political party. They certainly perceive that they have won the election. They have the most number of seats at this point in time. And the key thing is that this is the first time that you've had Sunnis participate with such enormous enthusiasm in the electoral process. That's a great thing. It would be a very negative outcome if they were to think that even when they do participate, they still are going to be prevented from being able to shape the government and its policies.
Well, let's take a look on how Iraqis feel about this election and all of this conflict after the election's over. Raed Jarrah is a senior fellow on the Middle East with Peace Action, a nationwide organization that works with foreign policy issues. And Raed, you're actually a dual citizen of both of Iraq and U.S. You vote in this election. We should point out that you wanted al-Maliki to get voted out of office. So what is your reaction to all of these court decisions that may affect the real results of the election?
I didn't really want al-Maliki to be voted out of office. I just wanted to have Iraqis enjoy a new government that is not sectarian, whether it included Mr. al-Maliki or not. I think the current situation is getting more intense in Iraq because there are different interpretations of the Iraqi constitution and laws. Some of these interpretations seems to be politically motivated by the current prime minister, Mr. al-Maliki, who seems to be skewing the laws every day to justify staying in office. So there is some rising tension in Iraq.
So you feel that al-Maliki is kind of working behind the scenes and to hold on to power?
Yeah, not just me or people who are critical to al-Maliki's moves. Even his closest allies and people who he's negotiating with to form the government have been criticizing him because he is coming across as someone who would do whatever to stay in power. Every day he comes with a new excuse to try to justify bringing down the winning coalition and to try to justify staying as a prime minister. So we even had an extremely harsh criticism of him a couple of days ago by Muqtada al-Sadr, the head of the Sadr movement, who are actually now negotiating, creating the next government. But Mr. al-Sadr criticized Mr. al-Maliki very harshly because of al-Maliki's threats to use the Iraqi army and police in case a recount is not accepted.
I got to ask you, if you feel like there's a chance for an uptick, a significant upswing in violence because of all of these arguments and contesting of votes.
Yeah, this is a possibility. I've been writing and talking about a possibility of an Iranian-style post-election unrest. And I think if the Iraqi government insists to continue to break the laws, I think this possibility will become even more.
Okay, and Megan O'Sullivan, do you think that if there is a possibility of an upswing in violence, that means the U.S. troops should delay their departure?
Well, I think that it's possible there could be violence, but it's not inevitable. Iraqi politics have always been rocky, and in the end, the Iraqis have generally shown an ability to sort out very difficult issues. And so I would not assume that this is going to end badly. And if I were President Obama, I would just try to maintain some flexibility.
Megan O'Sullivan is a professor of international affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School, former deputy national security advisor on Iraq and Afghanistan during the Bush administration. And Raed Jarrah is the senior fellow on the Middle East with Peace Action. It's an organization that works with foreign policy issues.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.